welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcari.
And thanks as always for listening here on WGR550.com on your on-demand audio. Frank, Sabres, the draft, it's come, it's gone.
It's
done.
We
went over that last on Sunday.
It was fun.
And free agency, the legal tampering period has also started, which has ripple effects.
I love how you call it that.
It's legal tampering.
Come it on. Is. It's just, I love how you call it that.
What do they officially call it? It's legal tampering.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Shut up, Frank. And shut up to anyone else that doesn't think that it's just that it shouldn't just be called legal tampering. That's all it is. It's legal tampering. It is. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
All right. So, I'm kind of excited about a couple things here.
What?
I mean, for one, the legal tampering period has allowed us to learn the six teams that John Tavares has talked to.
Yeah.
Two, then that leads into the possibilities of one of those Spurden teams being so upset that they come to the Sabres with picks and prospects or picks and roster players to make the team better.
Yeah.
And three, the more that I think about the Sabres' future, the more I can talk about things like development camp and how it's stupid stacked for tomorrow through Saturday.
Starts tomorrow. And yeah, it's looking pretty good.
By the way, yes, we are doing this a day early. We usually do Wednesdays and Sundays. But you gotta learn to adapt with the times. No, Frank's just stuck working all day. That's what it is. So blame Frank. Yeah.
Well, blame other people for taking the day off.
So much easier to blame you when I'm sitting next to you.
Listen.
So just go ahead and do that. You blamed me for the day that I had to miss.
That's true.
So then we had to work around you.
That's true.
I could have just done it with you, without you.
You know? Why don't you then?
Because you
No, because Derek misses me. That's why. Derek misses me.
I don't miss you. You're sitting right here.
You miss me. Well, you miss me and I'm not here.
Sure. All right.
All right, cool. Glad we got that out of the way.
Anyway, you know what I'm going to do then tomorrow, Frank?
What?
I'm rub it in your stupid face and say that I miss you because I'm going to go to Sabres Prospects and Development Camp there.
All right, have fun.
How's that?
Have fun.
I miss you.
All right.
Anyway, Sabres Development Camp, the roster is absolutely loaded. It starts, obviously, with Rasmus Dahlin, the number one overall pick, but it's far from over from there. You get the likes of Casey Mittelstadt, Brendan Gulli. Alex Nylander was expected to be there naturally, but to see Mittelstadt and Gulli there was a little bit surprising to me.
Not really.
Gulli, I would say, because he's at least been playing professionally for the last couple of years and a lot of time
with
the Sabres.
This was his first pro year this past year. No, it's no surprise with those guys, especially it's because of their age.
But then you also
Mittelstadt's 19, Gulli, I believe, is 21. So they're expected to be at dev camp.
But then you also have the likes of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, Alex Nylander.
Yep.
Lawrence Pilut.
Pilut, I'm a little surprised at, but once again, it's because of his age. He's 22.
Victor Olofsson.
Olofsson's another. Yep, you expected him to be there. You got Cliff Poo.
Rasmus Asplund.
Asplund, yeah.
There's a lot of big names
Marcus
here.
Marcus Davidson, I want to see what he becomes. The
Will Borgen.
Dev Camp darling, Vasily Glotov.
Yes, Glotov is back.
Yep.
Will Borgen is going to be there for this one. And
Will Borgen, Jacob Bryson,
Fitzgerald.
Yep, Brandon Hickey's going to be there.
Yes, the player that they traded for. So I'm going to guess they're going to sign him.
That's what it seems like. And then, she got the entire 2018 draft class as well.
Yes.
Jonas Johansson's going to be there, too. And then you got some invites, some camp invites, too.
But
and we'll see what happens.
Now, my biggest question is going to be this. And it was speculated earlier today. It was surrounding Alex Nylander.
Yeah.
You have to see a little more of a dominance factor from Nylander, a guy who is 2 years pro, albeit in the AHL, but you want to see a flash of dominance from the eighth overall pick from a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, you want to be able to see him start to really show why he was considered a top 10 prospect 2 years ago.
And not to mention, it's furthermore this. It's a bunch of prospects. You should after a couple of years in this league, I mean, in this system, and even getting a cup of coffee over the last couple of seasons in the NHL, you should be able to dominate these prospects. Because mm-hmm. that's what they are. Mm-hmm. They're not ready yet. Show us that you're ready, Alex Nylander, please.
Yeah.
I want, this whole Alex Nylander being a bust thing to kind of just die so that the Sabres have, B, a top six forward that can fill in on the left wing, which we are in dire need of help in. Look at that. Things just play into place.
Yeah.
I think that if you're going to see anything from Nylander, it's got to start now. And if I go to development camp and I don't see him standing out from the crowd, I'm going to start to get concerned.
Then you would be worried.
I mean, obviously, there is still training camp that you have to look through and see.
There's the rookie tournament.
There's
all the preseason games, yeah. So, yeah, it's really, but this is where it starts. This is where he has to start it by beginning to establish himself as that grade A prospect.
Even give me a grade B prospect at this point, man.
Yeah.
Because right now you're not getting anything out of it. And it would become the last egregious misfire by Tim Murray.
So besides, here's a question for you. Besides, obviously, Dahlin and Mittelstead and Nylander, who are you looking more forward to see? Most forward.
So it's got to be not
besides those top three. Besides those top three. Because those are who everyone's going to be watching.
Honestly, I want to see
something. Is there anybody else?
I want to see just how good Victor Olofsson got.
That's who I was thinking.
Because he put up goals last year.
He did.
And it wasn't even just that it was in bunches. It was all consistent throughout the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got people that have played in the NHL, teammates, coaches, opponents saying, Victor Olofsson ripped the puck. He's got a great shot.
Yeah.
Let's see what he's got. Can he dominate?
Mm-hmm.
Because Randy Sexton, he was on with Howard and Jeremy this Tuesday morning, and he said, Asplund, Pilut, and Olofsson should challenge for a spot in Buffalo this year. So they're expecting it.
They're expecting him to make. They're expecting those guys to at least make an impact. Make a name for themselves.
And that's my big thing is if you've got guys if they really are ready to challenge for a spot in Buffalo. I mean, now's a good time to get it done.
Yeah,
especially for a guy like Olofsson who could fit on the wing, something the Sabres need.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's got the shot to make it happen,
he might be a guy who could be a dark horse.
Let it rip.
Yeah. Pilut, by the way, is the guy that I would say if I was asked that question, because being SHL Defenseman of the Year last year, being so young at 22 years old, and as you just said, if the Sabres are expecting Pilut to make a name for himself and to challenge for a roster spot, he would be somebody you would want to see and see if that is the case.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think another guy too that we should another guy we should be looking at though
before you go.
Hmm.
When in doubt, guess a Swede.
It's true. Yeah.
Carry on.
Well, how about not a Swede? As another guy to look at, Cliff Poo.
Okay. The guy who he had a slow start in the CHL last year, ended up not playing for Team Canada in the World Juniors in Buffalo. That would have been a big
sight
to see.
Yeah.
But he kind of picked it up after that. So you want to see if Cliff Poo is developing in the proper structure mm-hmm. that you'd like to see. There's a lot of players that have some interesting
storylines. He had 84 points last year.
Yeah, and he started off real slow. So
traded from London to Kingston.
Exactly. Like he got dealt and everything. So
yeah, he was a point a game in London last year, 45 and 36, and then traded to Kingston 39 in 29 games, then 15 games in the playoffs and he had 17 points. Guy's looks like an assist machine. He only scored 29 goals last year.
Yeah.
and 4 in the playoffs. We're expecting him to be in Rochester, obviously, but you know, I think he's the guy who you want to see start to take that next step.
Take the next step, yes. You can go on all day about the prospects and which ones you want to see.
A lot of interesting guys.
But there's a lot of reasons to watch a lot of these people, and it's only at Harbor Center.
Yeah.
The hype around Dahlin, I don't think the hype around Dahlin is going to hit the critical mass that it did with Eichel, because that was the tank. It alienated the fan base. Like, it split it in half for that season. Everyone wanted to just see the relief of having this just end.
Yeah.
Plus, and the player is there, and we're good to go.
Plus, the dev camp that year, too, was also Eichel Reinhardt. That's both. True.
Three years later, that's exactly what you said. What you're saying, yeah. The Sabres hype, it died.
Yeah, but this year, the Sabres hype is gonna be back when training camp starts. When you start to see guys like Eichel, maybe if O'Reilly's here, Reinhardt when he's on his new contract, whoever they sign in goal, Ristolainen's here, Scandella's here, start to play hockey with Dahlin. That's when the hype is going to be back.
But I think it is going to be a bit of a fever pitch for the likes of Harbor Center. They might have a tough time having people being able to sit down. There's going to be a lot of standing room only.
Yeah.
That's what I suspect. Now, does that mean that it's going to be packed? I mean, maybe, maybe not. I'm kind of forecasting it to be that way. But again, I think that it's a good day for Sabres fans. They're going to be able to see this kid on the ice, and they're going to be able to see everything like that. And if he dominates right away out of dev camp, it's just like, okay, this is real, and protect him at all costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to go after work on Wednesday, tomorrow day. And you're not.
I will not. I will be at work.
Is that too mean?
It's pretty mean.
Yeah, it is pretty mean, isn't it?
It's pretty mean.
If I've got to ask, it's probably too mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that, again, dev camp, it's the next step. And then free agency, July 1.
Sunday.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I feel like there's too much effort just screaming Sunday a bunch of times and incoherently. Just to make fun of some monster truck promotional thing that everyone has heard. So make your tired jokes while you can. Look at that.
Yeah.
I've restrained myself. With free agency obviously comes trades.
Trades?
With free agency comes the official signing of Ilya Kovalchuk. And it also
That's will pretty probably, much already official.
And it also will probably That's, be the official well, day of... John Tavares,
yes. Kovalchuk's already done. That's official now.
It's just not signed.
I think it is.
He's still not allowed to sign until July 1.
Was he not? I thought...
he was allowed to negotiate with all teams before the legal tampering
period. I thought he was allowed to sign a contract after his 35th birthday, which was in April.
I think it was because of the fact that he'd been out of the NHL.
Maybe. Well...
Either way, he's going.
Kovalchuk's a king anyway, so who cares?
But John Tavares.
John Tavares, yep, that's the big one.
Who's hosting teams in LA.
Yeah.
Speaking of LA, it's the Lightning, the Bruins, the Stars, the Leafs,
the Sharks.
The Isles, and the Sharks.
Yes. So our suspicion was it going to be four teams and then the Islanders, and there's your five, or was it five teams, then the Islanders, so it'd be six? There we go. There's our suspicion with that. The Islanders get the last pitch. They're going to talk to him later this week.
You know what I would do? Then Lou Lamoriello.
You had Toronto already talk. I think San Jose is expected to talk to Tavares tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know
Boston
about...
Boston talked with them, I think, yesterday.
Yes, I think so, too. And then you have Tampa and Dallas, I think, today.
Let's go over the disaster meter.
Okay.
How bad will it be for everyone else in the league if... ... And I think I'll start with Dallas because I don't necessarily sense Dallas to be a keen threat to necessarily Buffalo, but also in particular, if they don't clean up their goaltending situation, i.e. get a backup in case Ben Bishop gets hurt again, he might run into some real problems.
Dallas is the interesting option.
Dallas is the interesting one and really fun, especially because of the fact that it's being reported they are not buying out Jason Spezza, which means their middle can look like this. Tyler Seguin, John Tavares, Jason Spezza, and then insert name for your fourth line center.
They have Marty Hanzel.
Spezza's getting kicked to the wing then. That means Martin Hansel's your third line center, and then name whatever you want for your fourth.
Sure. Because
Hansel still deserves at least top 9 minutes.
Sure. Yeah. Because this is a Dallas team that already has Jamie Benn locked up, Alex Radulov.
Forget about Radulov.
Yeah.
But defensively, is
and
the problem.
John Klingberg.
Klingberg aside, their problem really mostly is defense. Defense and goaltending. It's kind of what shot them in the foot and managed to make them fall out of the playoff race. So Dallas, for me, it's, well, congrats, you signed it, but now what are you going to do about that back end?
That's why Klingberg's there. I think there's a lot of rumors that if they need to make another move for something, Julius Honka would be part of that deal. They'd be willing to trade him, who's a pretty good prospect defenseman.
I mean, you could trade Martin Hansel.
Well,
put Spets on the third line center. There you go.
Sure. The nice thing, though, is Dallas also has Miro Heiskanen coming up. He might That's make right. the team next season as a 19-year-old.
Heiskanen is a pretty good...
And he was their third overall pick in 2017, who spent, I think, all of last season in Finland.
I'm not mad we got Mittelstadt out of it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right, so Dallas... Yeah. Dallas, I'm not really like.
Dallas is the very interesting option,
and I would say it's one of my personal favorites. One, it's not the East, so I don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah,
but two, just seeing
that central division,
that center core,
that not only just the center core in Dallas, the central division as a whole,
because
you've got Winnipeg, you've got Nashville.
Yeah, both of those teams deep down the middle.
You wonder what St. Louis is going to do, because they're still a good team.
And then there's Chicago.
Chicago going to have and Patrick Kane.
I meant center wise, but
I'm just And then Colorado's up and coming. They made the playoffs last season. Nate McKinnon was a Hart candidate.
Also center.
And a center, yeah. But then you got Gabriel Landeskog there. You got Mikko Rantanen, who was a point of game player there last season as well. That makes that central division.
And they just traded for Philip Grubauer.
And signed him, too. That central division would be stacked.
It already kind of is.
It already is. It'd be even more.
All right. So next.
So Dallas is the interesting option.
Next, I'll go with, I would say, the Isles. Because New York showed roster-wise that there's still a massive problem without John Tavares. It's called your goaltending sucks, and your defense sucks worse. And you're letting Calvin DeHaan walk for nothing.
Yeah.
Who might actually be one of your better defensemen, not named Boychuk or Letty.
The nice thing about the Islanders, they have the most cap space.
They also have The eighth year,
yes.
So there's a lot more likeliness to it, but in terms of scary for me as a Sabres fan, okay, cool.
I still think the Islanders are still very likely.
Mm-hmm.
Because also they will also be able to.
They also can
build.
Brag that
they can also still build around.
They also
him.
Can brag Toronto aside that they might have one of the best coaches now in the NHL.
Yeah.
They just hired Barry Trotz.
Yeah. If John Tavares stays with the Islanders, though, you gotta expect that they're gonna make some kind of move for a defenseman. At least, obviously, they're letting DeHaan go, but
they still need to fix it.
Yeah.
They need to fix the goaltending.
They've been in talks for that they may potentially get Jimmy Howard or Craig Anderson, but obviously that's not long term.
Next up, the Sharks.
Boy. If he goes to San Jose.
If he goes to San Jose, I'm saying trade that pick yesterday.
If he goes to San Jose, you're talking cup right
exactly.
Now. You're talking cup. They have the cap space to do it. They have just under $19 million. And they still got to re-sign Thomas Hertl and Chris Tierney. But that's it. That's really it for key players. And their cap situation
is actually really good. Right?
They've already bought him out, I believe. Yeah, they already bought him out. He's gone.
So all you'd have to do is make sure of one more contract.
You maybe wouldn't even need to, because Hertl and Tierney are not going to cost you a lot of money. Hertl might be the most. That's it. He might get something similar to what Reinhart gets potentially. I don't see Hertl getting more than like $4 million. Chris Tierney's not going to get a lot too. He's a bottom six player.
So there you go. San Jose could be really dangerous.
But with their cap situation, I'm looking at it now. It's really good because you've got Evander Kane locked up. You've got Brett Burns, Marco Dvorak, and Martin Jones all locked up. Realistically, the worst contract they have on the team is probably Brendan Dillon, who's got 2 years left on his deal at a little more than $3 million.
And that's even not disaster.
Kucher and Pavelski are both about to be on the last year of their contracts. So you got to suspect that they're going to try to re-sign both of them, obviously. But there's nothing long term. There would be some long term with Kucher because he's 29 and he's going to be 30 next year. Pavelski is going to be 34 next year.
Honestly, I would let him walk.
You probably do, or you sign him to a short term. And the rumors with Joe Thornton really wanting to come back, that they're both going to work towards something for Thornton to come back at a very cheap contract too, helps the Sharks out even more.
And again, the reason the Sharks are lower is because of Tampa. Tampa's in the discussion list. Tampa. Yeah.
Tampa. Of course they are.
The Tampa I choked my 7-game series up 3-2 against the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals Lightning.
Yep.
Can get better.
Yep. I don't really see it. The only way Tampa's...
It's pretty easy if I'm John Tavares pointing to that roster and going, they're one of the better ways I can win a cup.
Yes, but Tampa's got to do a lot of cap management in order to do it. Like, a lot.
Maybe someone's just because, showing an offer sheet.
Well, because they just announced minutes ago that JT Miller's re-signed to a 5-year contract worth about $5.25 million. So that puts their cap space down to about $5.3 million. And let's say you're going to need at least 12 to 14 to sign Tavares. They're going to have to find a way out of Ryan Callahan's contract, which is 5.8, and even that's not enough. They're probably going to have to get out of Alex Killorn's contract, which is about 4.5.
Do they have a first round pick?
Yes.
Goodbye to that first round pick.
Probably. But what's even worse, though, for them, they've got to sign Kucherov next year. And the lucky thing is, he's an RFA.
Offer sheet,
yeah.
Tampa could take whatever team's picks.
They would be able to do it, but like I said, they are not able to sign Tavares now unless they can get out of Callahan plus Killorn, maybe even plus something else, another contract.
Like I said, do they have a first
like
round
a Brady,
pick?
Like a Braden Coburn? If they could get out of those three, I think then you can talk that they would be able to sign Tavares. and then even be able to keep Kucherov next year.
Again, it would sound like this is one. If they were to do it, they would focus on the Callahan contract first.
Yes.
Which means, oh, do they have a first-round pick? Yes. Oh, then they don't have a first-round pick.
That or do they have a good prospect? Oh, they don't have that prospect anymore. Because they got some good prospects, too, coming up. Got guys like Cal Foote, Boris Kachuk, Taylor Radish, Dennis Yan, and Anthony Cirelli. So you would probably
one of those players is probably missing next year.
Exactly.
So, and Tampa's only third on my scary list. Number two is Toronto. Yes, I know. Shock. Toronto is the number two here because, yes, I know they are supposedly the Sabres' most hated rival, and those games are always stupid awesome.
Yeah.
However, the Leafs don't scare me when it comes to facing the Sabres. I don't know why, but Buffalo always seems to do well against them, even when they sucked. Tank sucked.
Mm-hmm.
They won season series against the Leafs. The Leafs were enemies of the Tank, apparently. My concern obviously comes with the standings. But Toronto has a lot of cap work they would have to do as well.
Not as much.
You've got it, but you still have to sign Matthews long term. You still have to sign Marner long term. You still have to sign William Nylander to probably a bridge deal at this point.
No, he's going to get long term.
All right, then.
He's going to get.
If he gets long term, then that's more questions. You still need to revamp that defensive core because, good Lord, the reason they lost that series against Boston was their defense, which, by the way, a lot of people have been pointing at as Toronto's still weakness. John Tavares does not save you from that, and you've got Patrick Marleau's contract for 2 years.
Marleau won't be as bad because their cap situation is actually a lot better when you actually look at it. Yes, they got to sign Nylander now, Matthews, Marner, and Kasperi Kapanen next year. But with what they have now, next year, they're going to have a lot of cap space even still. And if they sign Tavares, it's obviously going to be less. But they have $24 million right now in space. If you sign, assuming, let's say Nylander signs a $6 million extension. Let's say somewhere like that.
Okay.
That leaves him with 18. Let's say it takes 12 to 14. So that leaves him with at least four. They don't really have anybody else that they're going to re-sign in terms of one-way contracts. Anybody else who they have to re-sign is probably getting a two-way. If they're getting a one-way, it's going to be really cheap.
My reason, though, that they're still not number one on this list, they need a defenseman.
They do.
Good Lord.
And if they are pursuing Tavares like this, that means that they're not going to try to get to trade or sign a defenseman. They've got guys that they can develop. And I think that's what they might be going for because they just drafted Rasmus Sandin in the first round in this past draft. They drafted Timothy Liljegren last year, who as an 18-year-old turning 19 who played in the AHL, was also playing top 4 minutes for them and was playing good, really good. So you got to think if he takes another step this coming year, you're going to see him in the NHL at some point this coming season.
All right.
And then you have they have Travis Dermott who was playing in the NHL and looked like a stud.
Okay.
And then obviously you got Morgan Rielly too. And next year, Jake Gardner's a free agent. They may just let him walk because of it. That's a
bittersweet goodbye for them.
Yep. And they really don't. I mean, if you say they have to get rid of a bad contract, the only one they would have to get rid of is Matt Martin. And even so, that's not. It's a lot of money for a fourth liner, but you can get out of that contract by trading away a pick, which they got picks.
And then there's number one, Boston.
Yes.
Why? I hate the Bruins more than the Leafs. I think that's my rationale. I'm sticking to it. Also, that puts Patrice Bergeron on a second line.
Sure.
Do you know how terrifying that is?
Tavares Bergeron. I mean, that's Team Canada right there.
Exactly.
That's a Team Canada third and fourth line.
That, and I'm sick of seeing the Bruins win things. Yeah. Boston, go away. Go away forever.
The only way the Bruins would be able to sign Tavares is if they traded Krejci.
Which they're looking to do.
Which they are looking to do.
And there's plenty of time. You can try to get your butt out of the David Backes contract that you very stupidly signed.
Yeah. Boston, I don't know. Boston, I'm going to put more in the Dallas area or even in the Tampa area more, where it's just, it's very hard to see it.
You're talking likelihood. I'm talking how much I'll be angered.
Oh, sure. I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't like it if he signed with Toronto.
Dallas is a blip on the radar. Toronto's too.
I wouldn't like if he signed with Tampa. Those are division rivals. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. But I'm also thinking, what's the likelihood?
San Jose is four because I have your
pick. I don't care about that.
The Isles are at five because, well, the Isles kind of sucked, even with
If Tavares signs with San Jose, I don't think that really impacts with the first round pick. You could say, oh, we'll trade it because it's going to be in the late 20s. Well, what if next year's draft's also really good? That pick could become very valuable.
I know. I'm just saying right now it's valuable more than if they were to get John Tavares. How's that?
Oh, true.
How's that?
True. I'll give you that.
Thank you. That's a fair argument. But they're still only at number four. The three are obviously your division rivals.
Yeah.
Tampa's still good anyway. Boston is still good anyway. Toronto, well, they made the playoffs and they're still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Boston's just the one that has won more things.
Yeah.
Go to hell. I don't care that Toronto managed to tank it better than Buffalo did.
They didn't even tank better.
They just were bad for a year. Well, they were bad following up to it.
Got lucky and won the draft lottery and then also rebuilt better.
I mean, they would have got Patrick Laine if they lost it. So
sure. Yeah.
If
they had the second pick, yeah. I mean,
I'm just saying, like, how much did they really would have had win a lottery?
But I don't know. I don't know who Tavares is going to sign with. Really don't.
I've really got the suspected feeling that it's going to be Toronto.
I think if it's not one, the Islanders,
it's likely. And two, it's probably the best roster combined with the likelihood that they can work the cap around everything.
Yeah.
It's where everything makes the most sense. If he goes back to New York, it's because of the eighth year and the promised stability under Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice sell, but is it, oh yeah, we just had 100 points plus in the standings last year. Oh, and you get to play home where you're from. Oh, and we've got tons of offensive talent to help you out. Oh, and we've got a really good coach and management team here, too.
This is true. This is true.
I think Toronto is my favorite in terms of landing him.
Yeah.
Second to least favorite
they're
landing him. And for my feelings. But they're my favorite in terms of who gets them. I think it's Toronto.
I think they're second on my list in terms of favorite, with the Islanders being the first. I still think having that eighth year makes a lot of difference.
It does. And you always go back to what Greg Wyshynski was saying there with
players like to stay where their stuff is. And Tavares' stuff is with the Islanders.
Yep.
So you never know, but you never know. San Jose would be third for me as well. I think those are the top three teams.
Yeah. I'm hoping Boston doesn't find a way to trade Davey Krejci in time.
I don't think they'll be able to. We don't know how long Tavares is going to take. He might not even sign right away on July 1st. He might wait a few days.
So now that lies in the next question. There were thoughts and speculation about what if John Tavares signs a one-year deal, a one-year max contract that would be at least $14 million.
It would be 15.6.
Which means...
Yeah, Toronto was... Toronto media talking about, could the Leafs do something like that? And then next year, they could try to re-sign Tavares long-term and give him the 8 years.
Mm-hmm. So 1 + 8. Interesting strategy.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
It's an interesting thought. I don't know how
likely it is. It's an interesting thought. I don't think that's what Tavares would do.
But how shrewd would it be, though, of an idea for your general manager to
I don't put it past the GM. I don't put it past Kyle Dubas for thinking that because
what he could pitch on this is we've got one more year of Austin Matthews making $925,000.
On his entry level.
We're going to go all in this year. Oh, and by the way, we can offer you that eight-year deal next season.
It's a bold strategy, yes. And I think it's a move where, as a GM, it's something you want to ask.
It's, of course, the no stones unturned kind of thing.
Yes. So
how likely is it?
But it's very unlikely because players typically don't want to do that because you also got to think.
You're betting on yourself.
You're not only betting on yourself, you have an agent. The agent's going to get you as much as possible. Yes, that 1 year would be $15 million. Or you could sign a 7 or 8 year deal and make somewhere between 11 and 14 per year for the next 7 or 8 years.
Yep.
Which one's your agent going to tell you to take?
It could be more of the what if he really wants to play in Toronto thing.
It depends. Then that's where if Tavares really wants to play in Toronto, and they are only offering the 1 year deal, then Tavares would tell his agent, "That's what I want to do." Then his agent would tell him, "Okay, we'll do it. Let's make it happen." His agent's not going to be upset about it, but his agent's going to do whatever. His agent's going to try to get Tavares as much money as he can, because the more money Tavares gets, the more money the agent gets.
Yes, of course. We've seen this this unprecedented thing happen before, though.
In the NHL, though?
Not in the NHL, but
that's this the thing. Year.
It's happened this year.
I know what you're talking about.
Kirk Cousins signs a fully guaranteed deal for 3 years.
Yeah.
I suspect he could have got more term in free agency, but he went to a team that he wanted to play for, knowing that it's the best chance he's got at a cup. Sound familiar?
Or in this case, a Super Bowl.
Yes.
But you don't really see this in the NHL, though.
I'm just saying, if it's something that is on his mind, then maybe it happens.
But we would have to know if it's on his mind.
And even so, it's a different aspect here. But Kevin
definitely.
Durant,
no, definitely.
Kevin Durant took less term to go sign with a team that...
That's true. Yeah.
Gave him the best chance at a championship.
That's true. He did.
So, it kind of makes sense that this sort of thing could happen.
But
if he signs in Toronto, it's a 7-year deal.
I think so, too. And the thing is, when you see it in the NHL, when you see a player take less money to go to a team so he can win a championship, typically that's when that player is like 35 years old and has never won.
Right.
You don't really see that happen to a player who is 27.
Right.
Because just for, you know, age reasons pretty much. So move away from Tavares. We'll have plenty of time with that, especially Sunday when free agency actually opens. The NHL has just announced their 6 Hockey Hall of Famers for this year.
You.
I have all of them up right now, so I'll read them off to you. We'll go with the one that kind of pisses all of us off first. The commissioner, Gary Bettman, is going into the Hockey Hall of Fame as a builder. Yes. that is happening. He is... Okay. Second.
Why? Why?
Because. Reasons. Okay, let's just go. Like, second, one that's been long overdue, Willie O'Ree.
Good.
Finally.
Deservedly.
Yes. The third, one woman is in it this year. I'm surprised at the name of who it is. This is Jaina Hefford. Mm-hmm. Canadian national women's star. She's a hell of a player. I would have thought Haley Wickenheiser would have been the one, but you know. Alexander Yakushev, Russian player, played in the Soviets during their dominance. And then two former recently retired NHLers in Marty Brodeur, who was a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Marty St. Louis.
St. Louis made it right away.
Yes. So there's your six. There's your 2018 Hockey Hall of Fame class.
Which means the wait continues for poor Alex Mogilny.
Yes. It's not a bad class. It's really not. I mean, besides Batman, really. And Willie O'Ree being long overdue.
Gary Batman.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer. Gary Batman.
Besides that, I mean, it's a pretty good class.
Does that man get to walk in public without people booing at him?
I don't know. I would assume so.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I would assume.
The way he keeps welcoming him now.
Yeah.
He might even just wear a shirt in everyday life that says boo me.
Yeah. So I just saw another tweet about Haley Wickenheiser. Mm-hmm. She's not eligible. That's why she's not in this year because she retired 2 years ago.
There you go.
So next year is her first year of eligibility.
Probably.
She's probably first ballot. If you've seen Wickenheiser play, she's probably the best women's hockey player of all time. She might be. She's pretty good.
Well, they're not the defending gold medal champions, are they?
Well, that's because they didn't have Wickenheiser on the team.
Well, that might be true too, but that's me being this is just me being an obnoxious Yankee right now.
That too. The Sabres just announced that they re-signed Adam Wilcox to a one-year deal.
They didn't tender him.
They didn't, but they re-signed him. So we were talking, about
better way to transition.
We were talking about, gotta announce it.
What better way are we going to be able to transition?
Because we were talking about Sabres getting goalies. They needed one for the NHL, one for the AHL. Well, now you got one for the AHL. Bring him back, Adam Wilcox.
You might even have your second with Jonas Johansson, too.
Well, that's what I mean.
Now you got your goaltending depth there.
Yes, because I think the team wants Johansson to be the guy in Rochester, but you're going to need a veteran guy there, too, so why not just bring back a player who you know already? And there's also, obviously, the chance. There's a very small chance that Luukkonen could make
UPL.
There's a chance he can make Rochester too.
I'd be pretty excited.
That would be impressive.
He did sign his entry level contract.
That'd be very impressive if he did. He's 19.
That would actually be very impressive. Yes.
Now, so Wilcox is back for another year.
So, but again, there are players that were not tendered.
Yes.
One of which everyone knew, Robin Lehner.
Yeah, we knew
Wilcox
that was
not going to be tendered. And then
I think he was going to be a UFA no matter what.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
and then there was Victor Antipin.
I'm not surprised.
No one's surprised, but at the same time, people are like, "Well, so much for that. That was a fun little year project."
That's what it was.
Free Antipin gets its last chapter.
The thing is, I'm not surprised by it, but I'm not upset by it too because. They didn't really use him. But when you sign a guy out of Russia, you're taking a chance.
It wasn't thing, really. I don't think this, it was just a misusage.
Antipin, the Sabres weren't going to lose anything with Antipin. It's not like they're losing out. When they signed him last year, this was, if he doesn't work out, re-sign him. And that's what's ended up being. But if it worked out, he could be a great defenseman for our organization.
Exactly.
It was one thing where they're not losing anything. And now I think this is more of this they're doing. He said he wants to stay in North America. He was an RFA. But the Sabres are going to do him a favor and let him pick his path.
And that's at least right by them.
I think that's what That's what they're going at with
they
this.
They did right by Antipin for letting him be able to walk.
Exactly. That they're doing him a favor by letting him choose his NHL path. Let him pick a team and let him do what he has to. I think that's why they didn't qualify him, just because they're just doing him a favor.
Yeah, because say the Sabres qualified him, they've probably got, what, 12 defensemen on the roster?
They've already got a lot, so it's going to be tough for Antipin to make the roster anyway. So yeah, that's why I think, yeah.
It was good on him.
So they
and then the other one was Scott Wilson, which came as a bit of a surprise, but a very logical
little
reason
bit of
why,
a yes, logic why not. Logic reason. He arbitration.
He had arbitration rights, which means he and his agent could go marching into the arbitration room and say, "Hey, I want this much," and the Sabres would be like, "Oh yeah, well we're gonna offer you this much."
Because you got to remember, Scott Wilson only made $650,000 last season.
Yeah, he'd be looking for a little bit of a raise, and he's going to get one
double.
Anyway.
He's probably going to get one now. I mean, I would think if he went to arbitration, they're going to award him like double of what he got.
Yeah. Whereas with the Sabres, they could probably negotiate something $1 million
or even
per
less.
Year.
Even less. Maybe yeah. We get him. Yeah. But give him a little bit of a raise. I would suspect that's what they're going at with the.
But now you can negotiate with him.
Yep. Now you got better negotiating.
You can use term. You can use everything.
You're not doing that with Wilson. But yes, you're right. So they qualified Reinhardt, expected. Qualified CJ Smith, Daniel Regan, Sean Malone, Nick Baptiste, Justin Bailey.
Yes.
All really expected.
All going to be something there.
All expected one, to re-sign.
One who's it's going to be a little bit of a saga trying to get a new contract in for him.
Reinhardt. Yeah.
And Reinhardt. But all the other players, very expected.
Okay, if would you sign Reinhardt to, let's say, a 5-year deal?
What am I paying him per?
5 and 6. Somewhere between. Let's somewhere between 5 and 6 for 5 years. Would you do it? Is that something you would think about doing?
Hmm. $5 million, yes, if I'm going for a 5-year deal. I mean, yeah, sometimes in the grand scheme of things, what's the difference between $1 more million? Well, give me some consistency first. But at the same time, you can go point at Kyle Poso and go, "Hey, that guy's making $6 million a year."
No, free agency will do that.
But that's exactly it. Free agency does that sort of thing to you. It gets you that money. I think I would suspect he might get something of 4.25 to 4.5 per.
Oh, I think so too, but I'm just asking would you give Reinhardt upwards of 6 for a longer term contract instead of a bridge? Like instead of a bridge of like 2 years at $4 million a year or something like that, would you up the ante on the because there's speculation that that's what they're talking is more longer term.
Mm-hmm. I think with longer term comes a little less of a cap hit for an RFA.
It depends on the player.
I would say of Reinhardt's status.
Because obviously you got guys like David Pastrnak who got, you know, 6.6 for 6 years, and then you've got then the Leafs have to sign William Nylander.
We have to remember that the Oilers broke the RFA scheme.
By signing Draisaitl to an 8.5.
Yeah.
Nikolai Ehlers is making 6.
Thank you, Peter Chiarelli.
Nikolai Ehlers is making a $6 million now.
I would say all those players in the end are more consistent than Reinhardt has been.
But even so, when you've got when one player who needs to be signed sees other players in the same age group and draft class getting this much, regardless of production, as long as his production is at least somewhat there, as Reinhardt's has been, he's been a 50-point player, whereas guys like Pastrnak and Ehlers have been 60 to 70, and Draisaitl too. I mean, 60 to 70-point players get $6 million, and then Draisaitl gets the 8.5. Reinhardt's camp is going to think Reinhardt's going to be that.
Yeah.
So you want to get paid now. So basically, If you were to sign Reinhart to even a 5 or 6 year deal and give him $6 million, you're banking on the fact that he's going to be that player. He's going to be that point production player later on. As of now, right away, probably doesn't look the best. But if he has a couple years where he's in the 60s and 70s in points, that contract looks so much better.
That is true.
And that looks more like a valued contract. And that might be the route that they might, that the Sabres could be going towards, where later on it looks a lot better. Whereas if you sign him to a two-year, $4 million, $5 million deal, and he has two great seasons, you're going to have to sign him to a Draisaitl kind of contract.
All right, yeah. I think in, and also in the end, to answer and all, your question, yes,
okay,
I would.
So I convinced you, good. Because also, too, I think another point that needs to be made, if you sign him to a longer-term contract, you can buy out, you could buy some of his UFA years. Because he would be a UFA around 26, 27 years old. If you get him to a six-year deal now where Reinhart, I believe, is 22, bring him to 28.
Yep.
And that's a couple years of his UFA gone that you don't got to worry about.
Right. All right, then. Yeah.
Yeah,
and so honestly, 22, Ryan O'Reilly, I think we could talk about that when Tavares makes a decision.
Yeah, we got all the speculation. There was that interesting article about how he almost got traded on Friday.
Almost did happen.
Where Montreal would have traded Pacioretty to the Islanders, Buffalo would have traded O'Reilly to Montreal, and the Sabres would have gotten probably two of Montreal's second round picks and one of the Islanders' first round picks. But there had to have been more in that trade, because if it was just that, it's a good thing that that trade never happens.
I was going to say Montreal's given up quite a little there.
They're only giving up Pacioretty. The Islanders would be getting up a first round. They'd be getting up Pacioretty in like 2 second round picks and then getting O'Reilly. And then Buffalo would be getting second round picks and then a first round pick.
Why not just do that deal direct?
I don't know.
Why throw the Islanders into this?
Because Islanders would be getting Pacioretty.
Why not just give them to us?
Do you want Pacioretty?
I mean, I wouldn't be against it.
I don't want him.
Well, fine.
I don't think the Sabres wanted Pacioretty from the start. I think
maybe that's
why they wanted that involved. They wanted that third overall pick, and that's why the Islanders. That's probably why the Islanders got involved. Yes, they would be interested in Pacioretty, but the reason it didn't happen was because Noah Dobson and Oliver Wahlstrom both fell, and the Islanders thought, oh, we'll just use both our first round picks and get those two guys because they're supposed to go in the top 10.
Yep. And there you have it.
But I'm actually glad it didn't happen, because if Buffalo just got a first-round pick and 2 second-round picks for O'Reilly, that's not a good trade.
Say they would have gotten Oliver Wahlstrom out of it.
I still don't think it's a good trade, because you're not getting a guy who's going to help you right away.
Of course.
You're getting a guy who's probably not going to be in the NHL for at least 2 years.
What if they got that Boldy Wild guy, too, in the second round?
Same thing. The value, because if you're trading O'Reilly, you got to give value at least somewhat back of what O'Reilly has done.
I know, yeah.
It's Oliver Wahlstrom's probably going to be a good player in the NHL. He's got a heck of a shot, but he's not going to be in the NHL for at least at the best case scenario for the Islanders. He plays 1 year at Boston College,
yeah,
and then signs. If you're the Sabres and you're getting a young prospect, you want a guy who you can put in the AHL.
Right.
Who can play in the AHL, because then you can bring him up to the NHL whenever you want to. So that's why I think a team like St. Louis makes a lot more sense. Also because I really want them to get Jordan Kyrou, because I really love him as a prospect.
Trust me, Frank, you can't always get what you want.
I know. I wanted the Sabres to draft Daniel Sprung as well, and that never happens. I say that because Daniel Sprung just re-signed with Pittsburgh. If you watch Sprong play, he's really good. He's like that speed winger goal scorer that Sabre fans want and would salivate for.
Must be nice.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
All right. So, but yeah, we can talk more on what Ryan O'Reilly can fetch on another episode.
Yeah, because he's going
to
get traded.
Tavares has to move first.
Tavares is the first domino.
It's the big domino. I wouldn't even say he's the first domino.
He's the first domino.
He's the key domino.
He's the one who's going to set everything in motion.
I think Kovalchuk kind of set some things in motion. I think if San Jose, for example, didn't say San Jose was the team that got Kovalchuk. I don't know if there's all in on Tavares. I think if Montreal decided to make that trade of number three, then we're obviously not having this discussion.
Yeah.
Tavares is the domino.
I do think he's domino.
He's the most crucial domino.
I guess I think he is the domino, but I think he's also the first one as well. He's the first domino, and he's also the biggest one.
You are my one and only. So, yeah, that was a terrible thing to do, and I regret nothing.
Okay. Regret nothing.
I'm running on 4 hours of sleep. Whatever. Thanks, Brayton.
Wow.
By the way, I learned something today that makes me hate the NCAA even more.
What?
Did you know that college kids picked at the NHL draft don't get to keep the jersey or the hat that they're supplied?
Really?
They're considered gifts.
Oh.
There it is, the disappointment.
Oh. That's stupid.
The NCAA continues to be stupid. And I learned that this morning on with Howard and Jeremy. When Paul said that, I'm just like, what? Like once it was that initial, like, what? And then very quickly it turned into, yeah, I'm not surprised, actually. That's considered a gift, and the NCAA is very much against that sort of thing, even though it's very professional, and you know what's going on. You know exactly what's being given to the prospects there. It's a jersey and a hat.
Yeah.
They have to give it back.
And imagine if the college player has a jersey with their name on it, like Brady Tkachuk, and he can't keep it.
Nah, he'll be there in like a couple years. So
I know, but still.
But if you're like a second rounder that's going...
Matias Samuelson.
Samuelson will not get to keep that jersey. And yeah. Say he gets traded by Buffalo. Well, then now he'll never get that jersey.
Yeah. But it's just like a first round pick who, like Casey Mittelstadt last year,
yep.
Can't keep the jersey that has his name on it. Draft
jersey.
Yeah, your draft jersey.
Which is a pretty special moment in your
life. I'm sure that teams find a way to do it.
Well, they probably find a way to give it back. But,
like, you give it to the parents.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Can't do that either?
Oh, the NCAA. Dude, do you know how bad the NCAA
you can't
is
this? So, no, that,
do you know how stupid the NCAA is?
So the NCAA would tell their parents.
It's a gift.
Not even just to the parents.
Look at the Reggie Bush thing. Bush didn't get all the stuff, did he?
Yeah.
No, he did
but
not.
I thought that was also.
And that meant that he had to vacate a Heisman Trophy.
But I also thought that it was the player itself couldn't get those gifts, not like family.
Family too?
That's
family too. That's why Cam Newton got into hot water with the NCAA, Frank.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it wasn't Cam Newton, it was his family. Yes, the NCAA continues to be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And there's your downer for the day.
Yeah, I'm
you sounded
sad.
So disappointed.
I'm sad now.
Like, for me, it was quick. It was very cynical after that. It was like, yep, yeah, no, that actually, yep, that's
I legit did
that
not.
That is very NCAA-like of them.
I know, like, that is very NCAA-like. I legit didn't know that it was the family as well. I always read that it was just the players that couldn't receive gifts.
All right, Frank, are you ready for after the downer news? I've got good news.
That
it's not very much news, it's more personal than anything else. The knee brace is off.
Yeah, I see that.
So I'm
is
going
this
to,
like off or is it just
like I'm not wearing it,
like you don't have to wear it now?
Yeah, my knee feels good after I sprained it, which didn't
that was quick.
Feel good.
Nice.
I mean, again, I'm not playing any hockey anytime soon.
That's true.
And stairs still suck. But I think now is a better time than ever to shamelessly plug that I am part of Team WGR on the 11-Day Power Play. And that we could use your help with donations. My page is on my Twitter account, at Derek Kramer WGR. Frank tends to retweet it whenever I send it out.
I am at Frank R. Curry.
And this has been the Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com. Thank you, as always, for listening. And you know what they say, Go interact with some humans, you monsters.